Good morning, everybody. Today we're going to study about the resurrection of the dead from the scriptures. In order to have a comprehensive understanding of the resurrection of the dead, we need to examine all the scriptures that talk about the resurrection of the dead, and that's what we're going to do. To begin our study, we will go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verses 1, 2, and 3. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1, 2, and 3. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. As you have noticed, this passage talks about the resurrection of the dead. But this passage talks about other things also. In fact, it lists six things as foundation doctrines or the elementary doctrines or the primary teachings of Christ. And those are repentance from works that leads to death, faith, baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Here in this passage, Holy Spirit, through the writer, is addressing believers who have been thoroughly taught the foundation principles of Christ. In other words, Holy Spirit is not addressing new believers. Rather, He's addressing believers who have been around for a while, those who have been taught the foundation or the primary principles or doctrines of Christ. Now, you might have noticed that this passage, depending on what version of the Bible you're reading, begins with the word therefore. In my version, in King James Version, it begins with the word therefore, but in other versions it would say since then, or because of that, or for this reason. So what we will do is we will go to the previous verses. Now, the previous verses are found in the 5th chapter, and we will read from verse 12 through 14. So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12, 13, and 14. There has been enough time for you to be teachers, yet you still need someone to teach you the first lessons of God's message. Instead of eating solid food, you still have to drink milk. Anyone who has to drink milk is still a child, without any experience in the matter of right and wrong. Solid food, on the other hand, is for adults who through practice are able to distinguish between good and evil. Now, in this 12th verse, Holy Spirit says you should have been teachers by this time, but you still need the first lessons, the elementary lessons, or the simplest lessons of God's Word. When the Word of God says you should have been teachers, it does not necessarily mean that you should be standing behind a pulpit or a lectern and you should be teaching like I do or someone else does. This could mean you shepherding someone through personal teaching, or this could also mean leading others by example. Now, how many of you know that others can learn from you even when you are not teaching anything in a formal setting? Yes, it is true. Others can learn from you both good things and bad things. And I believe that's what the Spirit of the Lord has in mind when He said you should have been teachers. You should have been teaching by example. You should have been teaching through your personal interactions. And then some of you should have been teaching as a formal teacher of the Word of God, or as a leader. In other words, you should have been leading others in the elementary or the basic things of God. In verse 13, the Holy Spirit says that anyone who is still drinking milk is not experienced in matters of right and wrong. In other words, those who are still drinking milk cannot differentiate right from wrong. Please remember that there were no verses or chapters in the books of the Bible when they were written. So, what we're reading in the 5th chapter, this verse beginning with verses 12, continues on to the 6th chapter. In other words, the thought in the 6th chapter actually is a continuation of the thoughts from the 5th chapter. So, in verse 14 of 5th chapter, Holy Spirit says that only mature or grown up or adults can digest solid food. Now, the question comes to our mind, who are mature people? Obviously, mature people can digest solid food. They can digest the meat of the Word of God. According to the verse 14 of this chapter, mature believers are those who know the difference between good and evil. All right, that's a nice thing. So if you can differentiate good from evil, and if you can eat solid food, if you can eat the meat of God's word, then you're mature. Now the second question that would naturally come to your mind is, how do you become mature, or how do I get to the place where I can be called or labeled as a mature believer? What do I need to do? You become mature by practicing the foundation doctrines or the basic teachings of the Bible. Now, what does practice mean? It is not doing something once or twice or for a short period of time and then giving it up. Practice means doing something every day on a consistent basis. So those who are mature have practice, that is, they have walked by the foundation doctrines of the Bible. And because they have been practicing it for a long period of time, or I should say because they have practiced the basic things so consistently, they know in their minds how to separate good from evil. And they're also able to digest solid food or the meat of God's word. They no longer stay with the foundation doctrines. They are able to grow up. In other words, your practice of the foundation doctrines leads you or takes you to maturity. So it is clear that you do not become mature by hearing teachings or sermons alone. You can listen to all the teachings, you can read all the teachings, you can attend all the meetings where the Word of God is taught and still not become mature. The only way you're going to become mature is by consistently practicing the basic doctrines of the Bible. You need to practice it, you need to do it again and again. As I said, going to different church meetings, going to different evangelical meetings, listening to teachings in the internet or watching Christian channels, nothing is going to help you to be mature. You cannot build your life on such teachings or sermons. Your life is to be built on the foundation doctrines of the Bible. You cannot grow in the Lord unless you become strong in the foundation teachings or the first lessons of Christ. So first, you need to work on the foundational doctrines. And that's why we are today going to talk about the resurrection of Christ. I know many believers who run to every meeting in the city. They go to every Christian program in the city. And when they come back from those meetings, they cannot stop talking about the anointing that was in those meetings. And the euphoria lasts only for a day or two. But I don't see any growth in them. Why? Because they have not worked on the foundation doctrines of the Bible. And they are trying to build their life. They're going to grow, trying to grow spiritually without working on the foundation doctrines or the foundation of their lives. In the fifth chapter, I believe the Holy Spirit is not accusing the believers who have been given sufficient teaching on foundational matters. He is teaching them, in fact, how to grow, how to be mature. And then he continues to speak and invite everyone to maturity in the sixth chapter. He reminds them the foundation or the basic teachings. And he even lists them. Repentance, faith, baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And he's inviting them to have their roots in the foundational doctrines of the Bible so that they can grow from there. So the exhortation there is to leave the elementary principles of Christ, and that does not mean you forsake the elementary principles or the foundation doctrines. It means to grow from there, to have your life firmly rooted in the foundation doctrines of Jesus Christ or of Bible, and then grow from there. You cannot grow without having your roots deep down in the foundation doctrines of the Bible. It means to allow your roots to go deep into the basic things of Christ so that you can grow up, so that you can draw nourishment from it. So I can say that you can be strong in the Lord only to the extent you are strong in the basic doctrines. Now, before we go any further, I want to remind you that we need to practice the basic teachings of Christ. I just want to give you an example of how important the foundation doctrines are. Remember, they are repentance, faith, baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. I have taught several times about repentance, about faith, about baptisms, and today I'm going to teach about the resurrection of the dead, and for several weeks we will continue this study. We will try to examine examine every single scripture, but we will try to examine all the scriptures that we can in this study to understand the resurrection of the dead. And when we are done with the study, you will know why the resurrection of the dead is important, why it is listed as a foundation doctrine. Talking about repentance, I've been teaching that for several years. Recently, I wrote a book titled What Next? And in that book, I have given a detailed study of what repentance is. I have given practical side of it. I have given the practical steps of how to repent by citing examples, and even I have included some assignments in it. So I would encourage you to buy that book and read it and practice it. But today we will talk about the resurrection. And when you read that book, you will know how important for your life, how important repentance is for your life. So coming back to foundation doctrines and how important it is to practice them. When we were little children, our parents or older members or families taught us how to cross the road. So first we practiced with them, then we practiced under their supervision, and then ever since that, we have been crossing roads whenever we needed to, and we have crossed roads safely, and the evidence is that you are still alive. Today, even today, when you need to cross a road, you don't think much about it, but you do exactly what you were taught and what you practiced from your childhood. If you're in India, you look to the right first and then to the left. If you're in a country where you drive on the right side of the road, you will look to the left first and then to the right. And then once you're sure that there are no vehicles, or once you're sure the vehicles that are approaching are slow enough so that it would give you sufficient time to cross, then you will cross the road. Even though you have grown up and you have learned so many things about life, you still practice what you have learned in your childhood about crossing the road. Today, when you cross the road, you don't think about it. It is so ingrained in your system that you automatically do it. And that's what that's how important foundation principles are. You practice it so well that it comes to you naturally. You don't need to think. You don't need to think about to have faith. You just have faith naturally because you have been practicing it. You don't need to think about repentance. You are able to repent and change your thinking because you have been practicing it. You understand what I'm saying? Foundation principles need to be practiced in order to have a strong foundation of life. Without having a strong foundation, you cannot build on, you cannot grow in Christ. So if you feel you're not mature, or if you feel you're not strong in the Lord, then you must focus on foundation doctrines of the Bible. And since repentance is the first one listed, I would encourage you to start with repentance. Now, we will talk about the resurrection of the dead. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 27. Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, and we'll read verse 29. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So this verse tells us that every human being on earth has two things waiting for them. Every human being, every person living on this earth has two things waiting for him or her. The first one is death, and the second one is judgment. Every human being, every person will go through these two things, death and judgment. Now let's go to the book of Corinthians, the epistle of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we will read verse 22. As everyone dies because of Adam, so also everyone will be made alive because of Christ. So here we learn that everyone is not only going to die, but he is going to be resurrected. Being descendants of Adam, every single person living on this earth will die. But because of Christ, every dead person will be resurrected. However, you will find one exception, and that is in the same chapter, we will read verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. I am telling you a mystery. Not all of us will die, but we will all be changed. Here the word us refers to the believers in Christ. What we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 is strictly about born-again Christians. Please do not forget this. It is strictly about those who are in Christ, those who have accepted Jesus as their Lord. For them, the Bible says that we all will not die, but we all will be changed. So what that means is believers who are alive at the time of Christ's return to this earth for his church will not die, they will be changed. They will receive incorruptible and immortal bodies, but they will not die. So besides those who would be alive at the time of Christ's return to earth, all believers and all non-believers, every person on this earth is going to die one day, and then after death, he or she will be resurrected, and then he or she will stand before God for judgment. Now, there are two individuals in the Bible, and they are from the Old Testament time, who did not die. One is Elijah, and one is Enoch. The Bible says they did not, God just took them up, and the Bible doesn't give us any more information about them, so we're not going to talk about it. We just know that they did not go through a physical death. We have no idea what happened to them. So all believers and non-believers, or unbelievers, if you would, except the believers alive at the time of Christ's return, will die. And all those who die, whether believers or non-believers, will be resurrected. After resurrection, all will have to stand before the judgment seat of God. Now let's read from Acts chapter 17. Verses 30 and 31. Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31. God overlooked the times when people didn't know any better. But now he commands everyone, everywhere, to turn to him and change the way they think and act. To change the way you think and act means to repent. He has set a day when he is going to judge the world with justice. And he will use a man he has appointed to do this. God has given proof to everyone that he will do this by bringing that man back to life. That's talking about Jesus Christ. So the entire human race is going to be judged, no exception. This is why all men are commanded to repent. This includes our relatives, friends, and our dear colleagues who do not have heard this commandment because we have not told them. And we have not told them because we do not want to offend them. Born-again believers, those who are in Christ, that means you and I, are also going to be judged. Let's turn to chapter 14 of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. Let's read it. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you set at naught your brother? For we all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So we can conclude that every human being after his or her death will be resurrected and then will stand before God for judgment. Even those Christians who will be alive at the time of Christ's return to gather the church will also stand before God for judgment. Let's also read from the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. All of us must appear in front of Christ's judgment seat. Then all people will receive what they deserve for the good or evil they have done while living in their bodies. So here we learn that we are going to be judged for the things done in the body while we lived on this earth. Therefore, it seems that everyone has to appear before God in his or her body. Now, the Bible doesn't say one has to appear, but it seems we all are going to receive a body. I have deduced so because everyone is going to be resurrected and their bodies are going to be restored before judgment. Therefore, I believe that everyone is resurrected and then has to stand before God in his or complete personality. That is, with the spirit, with the soul, and with the body. So, today we have learned a few things. Number one, there are six foundation doctrines or foundation principles in the Bible. And those who practice the foundation doctrines become mature in Christ. Those who are mature or mature, if you will, can digest solid food. They can have the meat of God's word. And one good thing or one great thing about those who are mature is they can separate good from evil. In other words, they will know what is good and what is evil. And we will conclude that here we have learned that we need to practice the foundation doctrines consistently. We need to have our roots in the foundational things or the basic things, the elementary things or teachings or doctrines of Jesus Christ so that we can grow, so that we can become strong, so that we can be mature in Christ. God bless you. We will continue this study. I'll come back next week and teach.